Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again to worship and to give thanks to God for what He has done for us and for many others. We have heard in the opening word, it is well known to all of us, but the familiar things are to become reality. I noticed here that it is written that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. This has become great to me. The word apostle means send, a messenger, one who was sent. And if you have been sent, then you must be able to say, who sent? Has a church sent? Has a denomination sent? Who has sent? Who has sent? If a church has sent, you represent the church, are accountable to it, must fulfill its instructions, have an obligation towards it. But if the Lord has sent, then you are accountable to Him, and then you must do what He has said. When churches send, they tell you where to go, what to do, where to be a missionary, how long you have to stay there, and much more. When the Lord sends, He commissions, He says what is to be done. And that is the great and what distinguishes all of God's servants from all others. Every servant of God knew what the Lord had commissioned him to do. Noah didn't need to run around asking what he should do. The Lord had told him. Moses didn't need to say, listen, Korah, what do you think? And Dathan, what do you think? And Abiram, what kind of... The Lord has told him what to do. And there is this wonderful verse. And look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. He didn't just hear words. He saw he was a prophet, and he did what the Lord told him. Elijah said on Mount Carmel, let it be made known today who the true God is. And at the end it says, that they may know that you are the Lord, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things according to your word. And Brother Branham said at one point, it is possible to mock a servant of God, to make fun of him for quite some time. But he says, the hour comes when God must confirm that He has commissioned and that He has sent. And when it comes to waiting, Abraham waited long enough. In the meantime, we do what the Lord has commanded. It says here, until the day He had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. I must make the remark here. You can read it. The Lord called Matthew and Peter and James and John and whoever they all were, but find me the place where he called Judas, just one place, whether he found him fishing somewhere, whether he found him at the customs, where did he call him? You can read the Bible again, it won't do you any harm, and then you can show me. Here it says, until the day when he gave the apostles, whom he had chosen, not only called, whom he had chosen through the Holy Ghost, and had given them commandments, and was then taken up to heaven. His commandments, his commissions, not in what we want to do, but in what he wants done. And I remember today, with heartfelt joy, not with loud laughter, but with heartfelt joy, I remember the day I finished writing the first circular letter. I've said it here before. I had to sign it somehow. I couldn't write yours sincerely. I couldn't write kind regards. I was actually sitting there as I'm standing here now. I had finished writing, and suddenly, you all know, when you do something for the first time in your life, it's not something you've done 100 times before. You have to put yourselves in my shoes. And I was sitting there, and just as you can hear my voice now, it spoke in my heart, not audible to my ears, but in my heart. It repeated the sentence, by his commission. I couldn't help it. And again, by his commission. What did I imagine it to mean back then? But here it says, to whom he has given his last commissions. That's the thing. Not just that we do something, but that we do it in the will of God, according to the word of God, so that it is even considered done by God. Otherwise, we will even be punished for everything we do. Another word that belongs to this is in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, a wonderful scripture. And I would like to encourage you today to trust in the Lord, encourage you to believe God, to take him at his word, and to thank him that he fulfills it. Here in Romans 10, it speaks of preaching, of sending, and of faith. It says here, from verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? And it just comes to me now that the biblical faith, which is valid before God, is connected with the proclamation of the word, which is proclaimed by God's commission. Write that down. Write that down. This is the faith that is valid before God. Not faith in anything, but the faith that is proclaimed through the word, which is proclaimed by God's commission under the leading of the Holy Spirit, because everyone has a faith. But only those who hear the word of the Lord, which is meant for them to hear, have the faith that is valid before God. And we live in a time in which the whole counsel of God is proclaimed. And it is necessary that it is done by His commission. It is becoming ever clearer how necessary it is for us to hold fast to the Word of God more firmly than ever before. And Paul wrote, holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Hold fast to the Word. I don't want any glory, but hold fast to the Word that we have heard preached in these days, especially through the ministry of Brother Branham. A man sent from God with a message from God to the people of God in this time. And because he was a word prophet, he has led us back to the Word. And the bride will be a pure word bride. And we will write about it with God's help. The time has come to put an end to all mixture and to sow a pure divine seed of the Word, so that when the latter rain falls, there will be no mixture in the field, but a pure wheat field. And God is my witness. When I saw this ripe, overripe wheat field many years ago, by the way, I have now seen a wheat field somewhere in Scandinavia that looked similar, golden yellow, and I had to think about it. And I've also seen another one. I have seen one now. We wouldn't believe it here. But the thistles were all a head taller than the wheat. Unbelievable to me. But I saw it anyway and actually wondered about it. But the wheat field I saw back then, it was many years ago, it was absolutely pure, without a single stalk of any other seed. It was a pure 100% wheat field, and we should not be surprised that a pure sowing must precede a pure harvest. Have you realized that? I don't know if I have said it here, but we are all a mixture. Have I said that here before? We all come from different churches where a mixed gospel and a mixed word was preached. Now God has called us out for a high and holy purpose. And now this pure seed must be planted in a pure heart and come forth, so that a pure harvest and no more mixture will come forth. But I don't want to say much about it. I have to write about it. It must be recorded before God and before men. The hour has come, and the last two sermons, the spoken word is the original seed. That is the foundation for everything that is yet to come. And I am convinced that God has already laid everything out in His plan, and that nobody needs to be worried. Worried, yes, but not so worried that we become nervous, but worried and yet trusting in the living God. How shall they preach except they be sent? Or as it says here, without being sent. And may God give and bestow this upon us. There is one more word that I would like to read, and then we come to the end. Here in Joshua chapter 3, it was the thought that struck me a few minutes ago, and I didn't read it myself, just the first or second verse, but the thought of defeating the enemies in the land of promise. That could actually be a topic for a sermon, but I want to at least read this verse. Joshua 3, verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men. We don't want to go into this any further. Perhaps we'll come back to it when the Lord reminds us and guides us in this way. How marvelous are these words here, spoken first by the Lord to Joshua, and then by Joshua to the people. After all, God had commissioned him. He had not come because he was unemployed to report to the Divine Unemployment Office, but had been called to do this service. And it says, and Joshua said, hereby ye shall know. And it just touched me deeply. We have Philistines and whatever, these Hittites and Canaanites and whoever they were. If we want to say it, they were enemies in the eyes of God, in the eyes of His people. They were to be defeated, driven out, and the people of Israel were to take possession of the land on the basis of the promise God had made to Abraham, who had wandered in the land of promise. Hereby ye shall know. And when we look around us, we must call things by their names. Powers of sickness, powers of sin, all the powers of darkness shall be defeated. And hereby we shall know that the living God is in our midst. Not by the fact that we talk about it, but by the fact that it happens. And we cannot paint or pretend a perfect world, but must say, Lord, we are of little faith and are faint-hearted. and we are helpless in the face of things and have not yet fully realized that the one who is in us has overcome and conquered everything and rose from the dead on the third day. I'm now thinking of the word from 1 John 3. There the apostle speaks of the spirit of the Antichrist and of them who went out from us and so forth. And then he writes, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And I remember Brother Branham's sermon, how he testifies and says, he who is in you is greater than your trouble, than your circumstances, than your sicknesses, than anything you may be in. He who is in you. So, it is not we, but he who has overcome, he who has conquered, he who was wounded for our sins and bruised for our sickness, the punishment was laid on him that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. He is now in us to make the work of redemption accomplished in us and through us a divine reality. Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. You can remember when Joshua and Caleb came back with the other 10, they were all very depressed and without faith. But these two carried the word of promise in their hearts, and they said, as a morsel of bread, we will devour the enemies. They did not look to the circumstances, but to the living God who had given them the promise. I say this deliberately today. If we are content to let the Philistines rule in us and around us and among us in every way, then God will not be able to do anything at all. But if we understand that God wants to glorify himself and is only then recognizable as living in our midst and as present among us, when the Hittites and Hivites and all the enemy powers are defeated, and by this we should and will know that there is a living God in our midst. And I believe that we have the right to do so. I do not believe that it is presumptuous for anyone to suddenly feel the power of God through the Spirit of God, and there comes an inner rebellion against the Hittites and against all the enemy powers, and there are enough diseases, more than 7 in number, as all the nations were listed here as enemies in the land of promise. And we may sometimes think that if God has prepared the land of promise, then there is only milk and honey, and there were enemies, there had to be fighting. It wasn't that easy, and we have to realize that. On the one hand, it is a land overflowing with milk and honey. On the other hand, it is a land surrounded by enemy forces, and we must and may count on the help of God. And it is perhaps the Spirit of God, of Samson. You could almost say it, sorry. That's not a nice expression. But you could, if you read the story of Samson. It's quite peculiar. It says, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and then he went down to Timnath. And what happened next, you all know. And it was the Spirit of God that moved him. So it was written beforehand. Anyone else would say every other spirit moved in him, except the Spirit of God. Anyone who knows the story knows what I mean. But it was the time. God had been looking for an occasion to teach the Philistines a lesson. And how he orchestrated the story was up to him. Back then, the Spirit of God came upon Samson. And we have already heard it in the opening word. The Lord said, stay here until the Spirit of God, the promise of the Father, the power from on high comes upon you. Let something stir, not fuss, stir in us from God, so that the Lord can do something. And may He give us a holy, spiritual dissatisfaction, and at the same time, a holy and blessed rest in faith. This balance, that on the one hand we could rest in God, and on the other hand go forward with Him, urged by His Spirit. According to our firm faith, it will happen, as the song goes. The Philistines have no right, and if they almost say, we've been here a long time, and we will not leave. That is not possible. The Lord has given us promises. We don't come because we wanted to come. We are not here because we wanted to be here. We believe God's revealed word not because we have arranged it that way, but because God has arranged it that way and has placed His church on this earth in these last days for a very special purpose. That is why we are here. Did you want to be here? Did I want to be here? Have you been asked? Have I been asked? Have you been asked how you want your life to go? Have you been asked how tall you want to be? How much you want to weigh? Well, that can still be regulated, sorry. But you know what I mean. We were put here by God. And I still have to keep that thought in mind. They are glorious thoughts of God. And God shares these thoughts with us. And we rejoice in them. May His Spirit come upon us so that we realize that the hour is near in which God wants to glorify Himself. Anyone can talk about God, even of the living God. But it is important that the divine, undeniable proof of His presence is provided through divine deeds. And I believe that the Lord will not fail to answer us. He will be with us until the last enemy has been made His footstool. Take courage, says the word of the Lord, in the days when you hear the words of the prophet. And God wants to give us all this courage so that we may go forward in faith and trust Him fully and anew. Can you still do this after all this time of waiting and sometimes standing on the spot? We actually had to practice that too. When I put on my first uniform as a boy of 12, We actually had to step on the spot, not just in step and other things, but we also had to practice stepping on the spot, and it all had to be so steady. Don't worry. Even if we were treading water, although if we look into this world, we have not wasted the time, but have used it with God's help to proclaim this glorious message purely and clearly in the name of the Lord throughout the whole earth. And God will make sure that everything goes well and that no promise remains unfulfilled. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this hour of grace and for your precious and holy word, Lord. You have spoken to my heart and to us all again this evening, O Lord. We cannot leave you, Lord, and we will not leave you, Lord, for you have called us, Lord. You have chosen us, Lord. You have made us your people, Lord. We are yours, O Lord, and we will remain yours for time and for eternity. However hot the battle may be, now in this time, Lord, when we have to fight with the Philistines or whoever they may be, Lord, but we know, Lord, that we have the victory with you, and for that we praise you, Lord, and worship you. Lord, though sometimes it seems as you have departed from us, but Lord, you are alive, you are still on the scene, and you are doing what you want, Lord. And everything will soon be subject to you. Praise be to your name. Amen.